How many of you today got to have a cinnamon roll? Yeah, so pretty amazing, right? There's still some, I think, in the coffee area, right? So we got a really amazing testimony coming for you guys here in a minute. And those cinnamon rolls are actually a piece of it, right? We don't always have like a taste interactive thing with the servants. Before we get there, we're going to spend a little bit of time in the Bible in Romans chapter 12. We're in the series Be Transformed, but if you want to turn there in your Bible, it's Romans 12, starting in verse 3, and I'm really excited for the testimony we're going to have, but I really meant what I was saying earlier about Project Shine, of like that's just an easy first fruit of what could be happening all the time. And if you were down in the fellowship hall around 9 a.m. when they were kicking off the cinnamon roll thing, we had a few young ladies talking about coming up here, baking with Phil and a couple other people. And it was this other example, right, of people doing something together in love to be a blessing. And it was sweet to see those young ladies with microphone praying for the food, talking about what the cinnamon rolls were all about. It was cool. And they were up here for hours, right? There was yeast and everything involved. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And we're going to slow it down on this first verse, if we can go there in the slide. Romans 12, verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you," so this is for you, you can put your name in there, right? He says it to every one of us, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." What this means is every single one of us, whether this is your first Sunday at Maywood, whether you've been coming here for 88 years, whether you've known Jesus for your whole, you know, for 50 years, whether you've built buildings for people or something, whatever you've done, we all are at risk of thinking too highly of ourselves. And don't deflect that to like, oh yeah, that used to be me. Like, let's... for you right now today. And if you haven't seen Jesus in somebody else here this morning and thought, ooh, I could grow more, then maybe this verse is really talking to you especially, right? Because if you can walk around in a group of Christians and feel like I got it more together than everybody else, whether you actually say that or not, it's not a good sign, right? And like this morning, I had two different guys get close to tears talking to when they talked to me about how good God's been to them and how they didn't deserve it. And it was humbling because I don't come close to tears when I talk about what Jesus has done for me. And I'm not consumed with gratitude the way I saw these two men be consumed, right? And it put a hunger in me to grow because I realized I got a long way to go to get to that spot, right? And whether you need to have more oomph in your love for Jesus because of his mercy or whether there's something else, all of us would benefit from some humility and to realize God's done something special for us, right? You're not going to spend too much time thinking about what God's done for you. And if you're here today and you're like, I don't even know. I don't know what that's about. Real just snapshot. God left all better goodness than you can imagine, better food than you can imagine, better friends than you can imagine, better health than everything to come and be a human and live basically almost like a slave, to live like a servant. And even to get abused by a government and tortured to death, like Jesus did all that because he loved you and wanted a relationship with you. That he left more goodness than you can imagine to come chase after you. And if you're here today, no matter how messy it's been, you're in good company, right? Like we've all been in messy spots. We've all been in spots that we're ashamed of. And Jesus still came for us. And no matter what you've done, Jesus wants a relationship with you right now. And he has a purpose for you right now, right? But if you've taken hold of Jesus, I don't think you got it all put together, right? Like, we all got something to do, right? And the amazing thing is, this one is every one of you. From here on out, it's going to be about us as a family. Because while we all need to be more humble as an individual, like, God's real purpose for us is going to involve each other doing stuff together, right? So verse 4 is where we pick up the team idea here. So verse 4, for just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. What he's talking about here is, like, you got a lot of organs, right? Your pancreas does something different than your stomach does something different than your small intestines, different than your tongue, right? It'd be a mess if you were just a pile of eyeballs, right? I mean, that's like a monster or something, right? It wouldn't work, right? We need a body that has a whole bunch of different organs, right? Maywood would be a disaster, a gross monster, right? If it was just a bunch of Jakes, right? Like, that's not what we need, right? So, verse 5, so in Christ, not by ourselves, because by ourselves without Jesus, we don't all get along. We don't create something beautiful that works together, right? But in Christ, we, though many, form what? One body. And each member, what? Belongs to all the others. You got all these organs that do super different stuff in your body. Every single organ in your body both gives and receives from the other parts of your body. The only thing in a human body that doesn't both give and receive is cancer, right? Cancer just takes so it can grow. Everything else in your body, even stuff like a gallbladder or whatever, even stuff that they might pull out of you and say, you don't really need that, right? All of it, though, has like a give and take in your body, right? It's only cancer that just like sucks up and doesn't give anything back, right? And no matter what, if you just got to know Jesus 15 minutes ago, already Jesus wants you to be both giving and receiving, right? Back and forth, right? Even it's as simple as carrying enough cinnamon rolls from downstairs, right? Or moving chairs like I saw some people doing earlier today, right? Or someone came and did something I couldn't do. They came to Daniel today and said, like, I can sing, right? Like, can I sing up front? You know, it's like, that's something nobody wants me to do. But, like, we want this guy to do, right? So, verse 6, we have different gifts according to what? The grace given to each one of us. It's going to get specific here. Before we get into that, real quick thought on your body organs before we go off of that. Your pancreas, people think about pancreas and diabetes and insulin and stuff like that, but your pancreas also creates a good percentage of the stomach acid that your body has. And most of us probably didn't know that, right? You probably, when you think of like what helps my stomach be able to have stomach acid, you probably thought my stomach does that, right? You didn't realize like it had a sidekick, right? Like it had a sidekick that like actually does a lot of that work. The thing is, your pancreas didn't wait around until people recognized it. It didn't quit once the stomach got all the credit, right? It just kept doing what God made it to do, whether anybody noticed it or not, right? Whatever God's called you to do, don't quit doing it, right? Like, you have a gift that's not like anybody else here, right? And yeah, a bunch of us can go carry chairs together, right? Like, that's not bad to be humble, but don't miss out on the thing God wants you to do, even if nobody else is noticing it, right? So then he's going to get real specific here, and he's going to mention some gifts. In the New Testament, when it talks about gifts, it's always different lists, right? Why is that? It's because these aren't exhaustive, right? The Holy Spirit can do all sorts of amazing stuff through us. Anything that's Christ-like, the Holy Spirit can give to us, right? So anything Jesus can do, we can do as a group, right? Like, that's how the Holy Spirit wants to work. So this list isn't exhaustive, but it does give us some examples, right? And so, let's see, the rest of verse 6. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. It's really simple, right? God's put a gift in you. You should use it. Don't be a cancer. Like, give back to the other folks in this room and our neighborhood, right? Our community. So if God's given you something that you can do, You should do it cheerfully. You shouldn't be ashamed about it. You shouldn't be shy about it. So without further ado, I want to bring Philip, our master baker, right? And Phil, come on up. So Phil Feathers and I have been getting to know each other, and we were having breakfast the other day, and he was telling me about baking and how he first got into baking. And the more we talked about it, I had a couple good ideas. And these were the two ideas. You guys get to experience them. One was you should bake for all of us. So you guys are welcome, right? Like, you know, like I was like, you should do that for all of us. And you should tell us some of the stuff you've just been telling me. And honestly, like, this is the really sweet stuff. So talk to us right off the bat. Baking became a passion, but it didn't work out great at first. So tell us about that, Phil.
Good morning, Maywood. Baking. I learned to do it in prison. I was at JCCC, and I was a dishwasher, and I wanted to get another job, and so a lady asked me, she said, Feathers, you've been in prison for a long time. You know how to bake, right? I was like, absolutely. Didn't have a clue. So I didn't have a clue, but I knew somebody that did, and that was my mom. So lost my mom in April, but so I called my mom and say, Mom, how do you make biscuits? And so she taught me how to make biscuits over the phone. And so I just ran with that, you know. I just started experimenting. I knew what I liked to eat. I knew what tasted good. And so I just tried a little of this, a little of that. And next thing you know, I got a business with cinnamon rolls and a bunch of other stuff. But learned that in prison.
So I do want to highlight one thing. I didn't even heard that little tagline there of like, I said yes, I didn't really know how to do it, but I knew somebody who did. I mean, that one, that'll preach by itself, right? This idea of, what if you, the next thing you got to do, it's like, I don't know actually how to do that, but I can call my parent. You know, if you call God, like, God, show me how to do this thing that's right ahead of me, right? And then you do what God tells you to do, right? So that's a good image right there. But the cinnamon rolls turned into a side hustle, and it kind of messed things up. Tell us about that.
Well, something that I had to learn is that God wanted to bless me, you know. I don't know if you read the Bible where it talks about when the Hebrews were in Egypt. The Word of God says that God blessed them, and he multiplied them, right? So here I am in Egypt, and which is prison for me, my Egypt. And so God wanted to bless me. But me, I wasn't satisfied with the blessing that I was receiving from God. And so I thought, well, I have the perfect opportunity, instead of just making cinnamon rolls, being happy, and cooking for the guys in, you know, the kitchen and stuff, I can smuggle these things out onto the prison yard. And then I can sell them, and I can make lots of money. And I did exactly that. You know, and I was really, people would say I was good at it. I became very famous in the prison for doing that. I had guards on my payroll. I mean, you name it. I mean, I had a whole operation. And, but there was that conviction on the inside saying, hey, I don't want you doing that. But I didn't listen because, you know, I was smoking K2. I was having a big fat store. You know, in prison, there's only so many things that bring you comfort and peace and joy and in the physical. And so I was pursuing that. And God, in his mercy, let me go. But while I was doing that, there was still that conviction there. Don't stop. Stop. Well, all too often what happens in prison, somebody sees how well that you are doing, and they want a piece of that action. Or if you won't give them a piece of that action, then they tell on you, and it becomes the whole thing. Long story short, I got busted. So there went the cinnamon roll business. But I was so good at my job that I got rehired. Well, didn't learn my lesson. I went for a little while, got the business operating again. Boom, got busted again. And then again, and then again. And finally, until I got put on this, they call it the blacklist. You know, this guy, he's just going to steal from us. He's just going to manipulate us, use us. He's no good. Don't hire him. And that's what happened. I took that blessing that God had given me. Instead of just being content and being grateful, the sin nature in me wanted more. And I thought that I knew better than God. And he proved that I didn't.
So there's a lot we can pick up there, right? You guys can probably think of your own examples of God put some sort of strength or passion or talent in your life, and then you got selfish with it. And Phil was stealing, but also getting stolen from too, right? You know, he kept getting fired from that job over and over and over. God wanted to just tell him, hey, don't do that, but he wouldn't listen. And so then God started pushing back, opposing that action, right? So you described a lot of stuff, though, the K2 addiction, all this stuff going on. It all comes to a head at like a low point. Your mom comes to visit. There's a bunch of food on the table. Tell us what happened.
This is after being incarcerated for probably like 6 years, 7 years. I was really upset at a situation. And my mom, you know, I communicated with her about the situation. And so she comes up for a visit. And so I've been stewing about the situation. I'm just ready to talk about it, you know. And so I get there. My mom, she's probably 79 years old at this time. And everybody in my life, my mother, she's that one that always believed in me, always believed the best, never pursued. When everybody else did, not mom. And that's what makes it so hard, but it's the truth. So I come in, she's sitting at this table, she's got all this food laid out for me, and I'm just wanting to talk. And I said, Mom, this happened, blah, blah, blah. And she just said, Philip, why don't you just let it go? That's the wrong thing to say at that particular moment. Long story short there, I cursed my mom. And she looked at me and she said, Philip, you need God. And I said, you and God. And if you don't like it, get the heck out of here and don't you ever come back. I saw my mom break that day. Something inside her just broke. And I was so stubborn, so wrapped up in myself. She turned and she looked at me. She said, well, bye. And I wouldn't even respond to her. And she turned and she walked out. And as I saw her out of the corner of my eye, she was just shuffling like this. And she wasn't like that. But I broke her. And in breaking her, the Lord broke me. And I wish I could tell you that at that moment that everything in my life changed, but it didn't. It got worse. It got worse. Hell opened up in my life to such a degree Prison was my safe haven. Always, being out here in this world is so foreign to me. I've only been out a total of 4 years since 1999. I can't handle it out here. And so I would be just like the Hebrews. Moses, why did you bring us out here to this wilderness to die? Didn't we tell you to leave us in Egypt? We could have just served them and been well, but they was crying for 400 years. And that's what I was doing in prison. I was crying, Lord, set me free, set me free. And then he does. Oh, I want to go back now. I can't handle it. If I could just go back there, you know, I got my little box. I can do this and do that, and I can move. And then I get there. And then all I want to do is get out. The Lord had to break this cycle, and he used that to do it.
Phil's story is going to go on, and it's going to be good. But I want us to pause right here because somebody in the room is at this spot in their story. They've done things their own way, and stuff that should have been good in their life has turned bad, right? But the bigger deal than the job or the seminar type of stuff is even the people that have been good to us, we've gotten to the spot where we're not good to them. And you get to this place where then it just gets darker and darker and darker, right? And then, I don't know if you caught what he's talking about, of when he's in prison, he wants to be out. When he's out, he wants to be in, right? I mean, that's life without God, right? That wherever you find yourself, you don't want to be there. When it's daytime, you want it to be nighttime. When it's nighttime, you want it to be daytime. I mean, that's like classic, you're far away from God. And you can look at the exteriors and blame them, but what's really going on is it's so messed up inside, and you're trying to run away from yourself. Phil says this line, I don't want you to miss it, when he's crying out to God. Because it doesn't just get better right after his mom, but it does change. What's this thing that you cried out to God?
I can't. God, I can't live like this. Please help. That's it.
We got more to get to, but there's not something more important than this right now. If somebody's in here right now and they're like, I'm in that spot. I can't do this. God, please help. I don't want to leave you by yourself trying to figure that out, right? Like, if you're in that spot right now, I want you to stand up and say, like, I want to pray with somebody because I need God's help to have a new life. So we're not, yeah, so come on forward, sir. Thank you, man. Anybody else, come on forward if you're in that spot. So here's, hey, Ben, if you don't mind jumping up. Ben's going to walk with you, man. And,
hey, man, I'm Jake. TJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to go chat with Ben, man, he's going to talk you through it, pray with you, okay?
All right.
Thank you, TJ. Thanks, Ben.
So here's the deal, is there's nothing more important than helping people have that opportunity. People get in dark spots. Somebody you're going to be in the line with at Aldi this week, or somebody you've been working with for 15 years, like they might be in that same spot that TJ's at, right? Where they're ready to change, but nobody's giving them the life preserver, right? Nobody's saying, come with me and let's talk about Jesus, right? Okay, so Phil, here's what I want you to share with us, man, is when you got out, there's so many stories we could get into. You guys should go have breakfast with Phil, right? There's a lot more good stories, right? But Phil does get out. God opens up this awesome door with Mike and the recovery house, right? There's all sorts of good stuff happening right off the bat to help him. But we're not quite to this story. You can leave that up there. But it's hard to get a job when you're first out. And it's not, even though God's given you a lot of blessings, you got pretty angry. So talk to us about that moment.
So one of the things about me, I'm a plumber, work construction, operate equipment, remodel, all this wonderful stuff. I mean, having a felony record is almost like required. Well, I don't know what's up here in the water in Kansas City, but they don't like convicted felons. I couldn't get a job for nothing. I mean, I tell you, the last straw is I walked for 10 days. I am beating the pavement. I am going, putting in applications. I'm doing the stupid thing online, which I have no idea how to do. And so it all just came to a head on day 10. And I walk into Church's Chicken that has a big sign on the door, "We're hiring." I was like, I guess I'll just go make some chicken. And I love chicken. So it could have been, you know, God's answer is like, no. No, 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 no. So anyhow, I go in there, say, "Hey, I want a job. We're not hiring." So I'm walking down Nolan Road, and I got my hands up in the air. "God, what are you doing? What is the problem? I need a job. I got bills. I want to support myself. What are you doing? You promised not to leave me nor forsake me. I'm here in a place I don't know anybody. I'm not from Kansas City. My family's all the way down there. It's just, what is going on?" And right in the middle of all that, my mom calls. And my mom, mamas know, okay? Mamas know the inflection of their children's voices, right? And when my mom, when I answered the phone, and I, "Hello? What's wrong?" "Nothing." "Philip, what is wrong?" "Mom, nothing." "Oh my God, you're gonna get high." "Oh my God, you're going back to prison. What are you doing?" "Mom, I'm just having a bad day." "Just having a bad day, Mom. I'm not high. Mom, I tried to ride the bus the other day, and I got so freaked out from all the people that I jumped off the bus in an area that had no business jumping off the bus for or in. And I vowed never to get on the bus again." I said, "But Mom, now I'm on a bus. And I'm not getting high. I'm not throwing away. I'm not going to prison. I'm just trying to figure something out. Right now I'm having a moment." That night, my mom, my brother, and two sisters called me. But before that, I went to downtown Kansas City, made it all the way there, made it all the way back. And I was walking down the street, heading to Mike's house, and that's when the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Philip," he says, "you are going around here trying to do all these things. And he says, you're looking for a blessing. And he says, the thing of it is, every time you've gotten out of prison, I have blessed you with a job. I have brought you up, raised you up, and you took it and threw it in my face. And he said, this time, you're going to fight for it. And he says, so that when you do get a job, you're going to cherish that job. You're going to hold on to it, and you're going to be thankful for it, and you're not going to squander it like you have before. And he says, so sit, and instead of just sitting here, walking around, looking for a blessing, I want you to go out and be a blessing."
Woo, tell us that again, that last line again, man.
Immediately, I walked two more blocks, walked in the house. "Mike!" "Oh." I was like, "Mike, I need your help." He's like, "Okay." I was like, "Mike, I need to go bless somebody." I said, "Can you help me go find somebody to bless?" I said, "I need to help somebody." He's like, "What's the deal?" And I explained it to him. He's like, "Hold on a second. Hey, Donna." "Donna Mills. I've got this guy. He needs to go out and bless somebody. I want you to come meet him. I want you to talk to him. He wants to help you." And ever since that day, within 72 hours, everything in my life changed.
So instead of trying to be a blessing, instead of trying to get a blessing, go out and be a blessing. And this idea of even before he gets the job, he's teaming up with Donna and they're going and buying groceries, right? For guys in recovery, right? In the Good Foundation, some other things. Now then him and Mike and teamed up with some youth and gone and done these like gift things for folks that don't have a home, right? And going and passing them out. He's obviously teaming up and making seminars for all of us, right? There's this idea of like lots of ways God's opened doors for Phil to be a blessing, right? I don't want you guys to miss it, right? Like the passage we're talking about in Romans, it says like we're supposed to be a body. Every one of us has some part in that. Every one of us has something to give and something to receive, right? Don't miss it. And so Phil, he came up yesterday. I don't know how long those cinnamon rolls took. It started at like 4 in the afternoon. So there's yeast involved. It was a lot. They were here. He was here crazy late till 2 a.m. or something. Like
9 and a half hours.
Yeah, nine and a half hours, right? So he's baking like 270 cinnamon rolls or something like that. Then he's getting ready to preach. But what's this picture about in between those two events? And we're going to have to wrap this up. Sorry, we're basically out of time. But tell us what this picture is. It's too good. Yeah.
Explain that again.
So what's this picture about up here?
Oh, this picture.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Mike and I are heading up to the church because I'm worried about all the cinnamon rolls just sitting there, right? Anybody can go in there and just take them and run. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Mike, we got to get there. Mike and I are coming to the church and everything, and we get up here to an intersection, Sterling and this one here, Winter Road. So there's this guy, and he slumped over in the grass, just laid out, got no shirt on, no nothing. And I just got to watching this stuff on TikTok with this guy going through Philadelphia, just checking on people that are slumped over. Well, I recognized that position because I had been in it when I was smoking K2. And I was like, Mike, that guy needs a cinnamon roll. And so he's like, okay, let's do it. So we come to the church, picked up cinnamon roll, went back, and took it to this feller. And he's still laid out there, everything. I get out, said, hey, buddy. He's like, yeah. I was like, are you all right? Oh, yeah. I said, I got something for you. I said, I just made these last night. And I said, I'm with Maywood Baptist Church. Me and my buddy seen you here. Man, I just want to give this to you. And he's like, oh, man, thank you so much. Nobody would help me. And, I said, man, listen, man, Jesus loves you. And he said, yes, Jesus. Jesus is God. And when he said that, I'm like, yeah, he is. But the word of God came to me and says, nobody says that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Huh? So a man that slumped out higher than Cooter Brown on the side of a road, slumped in the grass getting chiggers and fleas and ticks and whatever else there's out there, he knew in that moment that Jesus is Lord.
Praise God.
That's what that picture is.
So, what are you going to do about it, right? Probably not going to make 200 cinnamon rolls this week.
Oh, man.
You're probably not going to do the exact same things Phil did, right? Because Phil's a different part of Jesus' body than you are, right? But what are you going to do, and who are you going to do it with? Because all of Phil's stories that are good, they involve some other people too, right? Mike's with him in the car. Right? The youth have been helping them. Donna's been helping. You know, who are you going to use your gifts with this week to be a blessing? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in Phil's life. I thank you that when he couldn't fix himself and he cried out for mercy, that you gave him so much mercy. I thank you for moving in TJ's life this morning. Jesus, please show us how to be a blessing and help us to do that with other people right here in this room. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.